The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Like Bob on Facebook at facebook.com/BobBurneyLive.
Okay, so we know that Harvard University now has an atheist as the head of their chaplains. Now, part of the reason he is the head of the chaplains was the vote of a gentleman who is employed by InterVarsity. His name is Pete Williamson, and he voted for the atheist to be the head of chaplains at Harvard. Well, he's received a lot of pushback, and so he decided it was necessary to defend his vote. And so I'm trying to accurately reflect his reasoning, which I personally think is wrong. Anyway, he begins by saying, well, he doesn't really have any authority, doesn't tell us what to do or anything. We are Harvard affiliates, but generally not employees, et cetera. And then he says, we are a consensus-based community, and consensus is often easily reached because no one is expected to agree on matters of doctrine. Last time I checked, matters of doctrine are really, really, really important. And I don't know that an evangelical chaplain should be willing to reach a consensus simply by saying, well, hey, you believe what you want to believe, I'll believe what I want to believe, as long as we have consensus. And then he says this, chaplain presidents are often chosen not to reflect whose tradition is ascendant, nor as a reward to the most influential chaplain. They are not an indicator of a bold new vision for the Harvard chaplains. They get selected because they are trusted and competent members of our group. In this case, I voted for Greg, the atheist, because he's well equipped for the role he was elected to. Well, the role that he was elected to is to be the head of the chaplains. Okay, I understand he doesn't demand that they believe this or believe that, but how can an evangelical believe that an atheist should be a chaplain at all? In this case, I voted for Gray because he's well equipped for the role he was elected to, not for the role much of the media has imagined. But my reasons go even deeper. And here's where my serious problems begin. He says, this community of interfaith chaplains has benefited the ministry and mission of its evangelical leaders, including me and the organization I represent. And then it goes on and talks about the history, that there was a time when evangelicals were kind of scorned. They weren't really welcome because of all the liberals on campus, but now they're much more cooperative and much more interfaith, and they all just kind of get along and hold hands around the campfire, sing kumbaya, and make s'mores together. Well, he doesn't say that, but that's what he's implying. He says, quote, in that historical context, we evangelicals are beneficiaries of Harvard's newfound desire for diverse religious representation. And then he talks about Harvard's commitment to diversity. Yeah. And he says this, and I quote, this commitment to genuine diversity makes space for evangelicals to flourish as trusted members of religious leadership at one of the world's premier academic institutions. My vote for Greg Epstein was motivated in part by my desire to build trust in an interfaith space where people hold sharply conflicting views and do not pretend otherwise. Without that, listen carefully. Without that trust, evangelicals would be relegated to the fringes. Instead, we are at the table, discussing truth and partnership with our fellow chaplains and being looked to for leadership in the diverse religious life of Harvard. So this evangelical chaplain employed by InterVarsity is saying, I voted for an atheist chaplain because it gives me a place at the table. And we really can't do anything unless we have a place at the table. Contrast that to the ministry of Jesus and the religious leaders of his day. Was Jesus concerned about getting a seat at the table with the Sanhedrin, the Jewish leaders? Did he compromise what he believed and what he said and what he taught so that he could get a seat at the table with the other religions of his day? No, he was hated by the Jews. It was the Jews that demanded that the Romans crucify Jesus. Jesus was not trying to get a place at the table. Jesus told his disciples over and over and over again, if you follow me, they're going to hate you, particularly the religious people. If you follow me, the religious leaders will persecute you, hate you. They may even kill you. This chaplain goes on, I voted for Epstein. Again, that's the atheist. I voted for Epstein because he has been one of the strongest partners for the InterVarsity staff at Harvard. We worked together on service trips to post-Katrina New Orleans, and he's also co-sponsored speaking events with us. He does good stuff. He's a really nice guy. He treats people nice, and we co-sponsor speaking events with him. And then this evangelical chaplain says, the mission of Epstein's chaplaincy is not to convince people to become atheists, but rather to serve students who find themselves without faith, of which many are at Harvard. Now, I don't know this Epstein guy personally like this gentleman does, but I know that he's written books trying to convince young people to turn their back on God because they don't need God, they have themselves. I'm sorry, if he is writing atheistic evangelistic books, and the reason you don't have to be, or you can be good without God, I think is the name of one of his books. He goes on, he actively pursues our perspectives on matters pertaining to the Harvard chaplains. Although we disagree sharply on the things that matter most, he leans into those spaces where people can differ on their strongly held beliefs. He thinks it's important. And then here's the last sentence of his editorial. Underneath the overreaching headline is a model of how evangelicals can flourish in interfaith spaces and do so without compromise. It is a model evangelicals would do well to emulate rather than condemn. I just find that terribly unscriptural. It's warm fuzzy. I mean, it's really, really warm fuzzy. The guy is really nice, and he cooperates with us, and he's not trying to convince people to be an atheist. He's written a few books aimed at college kids to try to convince them that they don't need God, but Other than that, he's just a really cool guy. Now, I do not advocate that Christians go to this guy's house and burn it to the ground because he's an atheist. No, 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 no. I'm not even close to that. But do we really have to get touchy-feely, warm, fuzzy with people who are enemies of the gospel? Do we need to do that so that we can have a place at the table? And again, I would just encourage you to go to the New Testament. Did Jesus work to get a place at the table? When Peter and the other disciples were dealing with the religious leaders of their day, were they respected greatly by the religious leaders? No, they were beaten by them. They didn't exactly have a place at the table. Then when Saul of Tarsus became Paul the Apostle, did he have a place at the table? No, they tried to kill him, and they tried to kill him in Damascus. In fact, they tried to kill him several times, and ultimately they they put him in prison. He didn't have a place at the table.
Follow Bob on Twitter at twitter.com/BobBurneyLive.
Welcome back to Bob Burney Live. Thank you for joining me again. The president is in Louisiana touring some of the damage left behind from Hurricane Ida. And good for him. And one thing that he does well is speaking sympathetically to people who have been through tragedies. And I mean that sincerely. He's good at that. He can speak sympathetically to, I don't want to say this carefully, to people that he's sympathetic with. And I think he genuinely feels sorry for the people displaced by the hurricane and so forth. So he is speaking in La Place, Louisiana, as we speak. And good for him. You would expect the president of the United States to do that. However, he is not always real sympathetic. Before I get into this story, a couple of days ago, President Biden was talking about how he visited the synagogue in, what was that? That was Philadelphia, wasn't it? The synagogue in Philadelphia that was the place where the shooting and people were killed in the synagogue and so forth. And President Biden was talking a couple of days ago and said, well, you know, I was there and I expressed my sympathy and so forth. Well, the very next morning, the officials from the synagogue said, he was never here. He didn't come here. They said, we are absolutely positive the president didn't come. No, he wasn't. He told that story about the Amtrak worker, and that wasn't true. We know that. Tragically, when his wife was killed, and I believe his daughter, he said it was a truck driver that was drunk. That wasn't true, and we are learning more and more and more. Sadly, he has a problem with the truth. Which brings me to this story. When this first came out, I thought, oh, come on, quit picking at little stuff. When the 13 soldiers were returned to Dover Air Force Base from Afghanistan after that tragic bombing, the president and the first lady met the families, greeted the bodies to honor them, and so forth. Well, a news source, I don't remember which one it was, broke it, got a picture of President Biden looking at his watch. And people were going crazy over that. He should have been paying attention to the soldiers, should have been paying attention to the family, and yet he was looking at his watch because he wanted to get out of there. And when that first happened, I thought, oh, come on. I mean, if there's a reason to criticize, criticize, but don't nitpick. Like, he happened for a split second to look at his watch. And that's why I didn't even report that, because I thought that's not newsworthy. Who wouldn't, you know, look at their watch? But a lot of people kind of went crazy over it. Well, USA Today did a fact check. And when they did their fact check, Daniel Funk, who is a fact checker for USA Today, published a piece saying he looked at his watch for a split second one time. That was all. Well, evidently, he looked at his watch multiple times while he was supposed to be ministering to the family. And the very next day, USA Today had to issue a correction. Quote, corrections and clarifications. This story was updated to note that Biden checked his watch multiple times at the dignified transfer event, including during the ceremony itself. So evidently, he didn't look just once. A couple of the family members said he was looking at his watch continuously, and that's what USA Today said. No, he didn't. Well, after looking at film, video, interviewing family members, USA Today had to apologize. And they had to admit that their fact checker was wrong. And indeed, President Biden looked at his watch while he supposedly is mourning the loss of 13 soldiers. He looked at his watch multiple times. Yeah. Isn't that sad? I mean, that's sad. All right, we'll be back.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.